It's Legion Inc. with Jason and Bo.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a slightly belated issue of Legion Inc., our third issue. And I feel like this is somewhat appropriate in the comic world. You know, issue three, it's a fucking day late. Of course it is. But we are back.
Hey, we could be running months late, so we're doing pretty good on that front.
This is absolutely true. That, of course, is Jason Gray, the expert on this show, whereas I am what the Germans like to call a Dummkopf when it comes to some things comics. I mean, I know a little bit, but I certainly defer to the master. And first of all, how you doing? I know we talked very briefly before we started recording, but it's been 2 weeks, and the audience, I know, is excited to know what's been going on.
Not too much. Just still keeping on. Fell a bit behind on my catching up on reading. I've been being really lazy about reading some comics on Marvel Unlimited. Still trying to find something on DC Universe to pique my interest.
Did you get their survey, by the way?
I've gotten a few over the last couple of months, so probably.
That is the one survey I take the time to do, because I'm like, I want this to be good.
Yeah.
You know, I've already got it. You already suckered me into it, and I've got it for a while, because I bought a year.
I've got a few where I've told them that, yeah, I really would like them to add some more comics, more recent stuff, kind of more organized.
Yeah, and like I did exactly the same thing. Like, we've talked about it on this show already. And so I remember sending that off and getting an email that almost felt like a canned response to that was like, we've got over 20,000 comics available. And I'm like, where? How do I find them? How do I get to that? And I'm sure that there is some way to do so. I have not found it yet like you said, an organized way where it's like, oh, I'm going to read, you know, 20 issues of Superman tonight because I'm a lunatic.
Right. Your best bet right now is do a search and hope for the best.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, and again, you know, I'm not saying Marvel Unlimited is without its flaws, but boy, I mean, they've got, it's just like, hey, here's the whole run of comics. Just as I said, my only complaint, my zero complaint with Marvel Unlimited is I wish that the crossover stuff and the annuals and stuff like that, I wish they fronted that a bit better.
Right.
In terms of the chronology of the reading, because that's what I'm into. I'm such a nerd for that, of like, I'm going to start at Amazing Spider-Man number 1 and just go. And I love that. It's the thing I like the most about Marvel Unlimited. So anyway, I hijacked how you're doing. Sorry about that.
No, that was pretty much it.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, it's been kind of busy around the old Legion HQ of late. I've been doing a movie series at my place. Every Tuesday night I host movies.
Right.
And I've been doing the first four Planet of the Apes movies. We're about to do the fourth one.
Nice.
Coming up. And I'll tell you, here's what you're going to forget about Escape from Planet of the Apes, Jason. That movie ends with somebody machine gunning a baby chimpanzee.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things, like, after it ended, one of the people that came over to watch it was just like, that was fucking terrible. Why did you show us that? And because like my friends are not necessarily cinephiles, and so when I whip something on, I'm like, hey, let's watch the Planet of the Apes movies. They're like, okay, I guess we trust you to select movies that we'll enjoy. And I have not done that. I've been a bad curator, is what's going on.
I am the complete opposite. Every Saturday, I host with some friends some of the absolute trash that you know I find.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have shared The Magic of Winterbeast.
Oh, man. It's so good. Goddamn,
it is.
It's so good.
Later tonight, I'm going to be doing a full moon double feature with Totem and Talisman.
I know I've seen Totem for sure. I don't know if I've seen... I have seen Talisman. I've seen both of those. Yeah. I don't remember them being atrocious, but it's been a long time.
They're okay. I also think it's a David DeCoteau double feature, but I have to double check that.
Okay, sure. That's, you know, he's made 600 movies. You're bound to watch a couple of them.
Uh-huh. So, I've seen so many at this point that I can watch a trailer and be like, is this a, oh God, it is.
Right. Yeah. Who are these strapping young lads? Well, this looks like a 1313 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It. I mean, God bless him. Good Lord. If you can make a living in the business, by all means do it. And,
oh yeah.
And some of his movies, I would argue, are not cynical cash grabs.
Some of them are, and some of them aren't actually that bad.
Yeah.
I've seen a few he's done for Lifetime, because I've checked those out from time to time, because let's face it, they're really low-budget, female-oriented slasher movies at the end of the day. And some of those that he's done aren't that bad.
Yeah, I think he's a director who can care, just doesn't as a rule.
And has his share of things he likes to do from time to time that he just does for fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But again, if you can make a living in the movie business, you are doing better than, you know, 99.999% of people in the world who want to. So anyway, yeah, that I like a movie night. I think it's a lot of fun. We do a little potluck with it too, so people bring some snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And last time out, we had ribs and homemade potato salad. That was fucking unbelievable. So no matter how bad the chimpanzee death at the end of the movie was, everyone left with their belly full of delicious ribs.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, you know, they can only complain so much. But let's, enough about the movies. The point of all that, though, was I've been doing that, but also been working a lot, and it's been real stressful, and those nights have been a lot of fun. As is tonight, because tonight is one of those rare nights where once we're done recording, I don't really have anything to do, and mm-hmm. I can catch up on my week's purchases at the comic shop.
Nice.
Because I'm one of those people that I don't want to just build up a bunch of comics that I've never read.
Right.
So the promise I make to myself is before the next comic day rolls around, I will have read everything I bought the week before, or I don't get to go buy new comics, mm-hmm. is how I make that deal with myself. So I've only read one of the comics that dropped on Wednesday, mm-hmm. And we'll just jump into it. I'll tell you about this one. It was the J.J. Abrams and son Spider-Man comic.
Right.
And... you know, just to give a brief review, it's a first issue. It is not an astounding first issue. It's not an amazing. It's mm-hmm. not a spectacular first issue.
But it is a Peter Parker first issue.
It is a Peter Parker first issue. It's not a friendly neighborhood first. Anyway, so Spider-Man number one is J.J. Abrams and his kid doing a new version of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Where this takes place in a world where... Peter Parker at a certain point is bested in his time as Spider-Man. And when we meet him as an adult, he and Mary Jane have split up. She's actually gone missing after mm-hmm. this battle that left him. Also with one of his arms gone. So he has a prosthetic arm. And it's not like a fancy robot arm. It's just like an old-fashioned kind of hook prosthetic arm that he wears around, which is weird because Peter Parker's an inventor, and why wouldn't he make a better prosthetic for himself? But
right.
It's J.J. Abrams, and my expectations are only so high for this. But the sort of the deal is that his son Ben, named, which is I think my favorite part of the whole thing, is that obviously he names his son after Uncle Ben, and I thought that was really nice. But so Ben is his child, who is now becoming a teenager and discovers that he has inherited some of his father's powers. And Aunt May, who is still kicking around, realizes this because Ben lives with Aunt May because Peter's kind of a fuck up and Mary Jane's gone.
Right.
And he's their kid. And so he lives with Aunt May just like Peter did. And she takes him when I'm spoiling the whole first issue, sorry people, but you know, again, it's the first issue. But he Ben, once he realizes he has powers and Aunt May discovers this, she takes him up to the attic where she shows him all of Peter's old shit, including his outfit, and is like, I think you're gonna need this. And and then there's another thing that happens that I won't spoil because it's really the big twist of it, but it's you know, it's okay. I do like the art in it. I think it that side of it is really good. I don't know that I've connected with any of the characters yet. And again, this is a first issue, but Peter doesn't really feel like Peter Parker. You know, he's just so glum and dour, and that's just never been Peter Parker, even at his worst.
Right.
And so that's really off-putting in some ways, because I would like him to at least be, if he's going to be a fuck-up, at least let him retain that piece of his personality where
right.
he's a little bit of a goofy fuck-up. As opposed to just being like, you know, he's not an alcoholic, but he might as well be.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, so I've read that as far as the new stuff. Then I will point out a couple of other things I've read real quick before I kick it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got around to reading Something Is Killing the Children.
Okay.
That's fucking rad.
Excellent.
I'm on board. It has a bit of hack slash to it.
Good.
There is a whiff of that. It in the sense that there's kind of that central Buffy-esque character that you mm-hmm. don't know much about yet. But also there's this dynamic between her and she is clearly like hunting this whatever it is. And she ends up running into a young girl who is being hunted, and sort of their relationship is really like cool and vibrant and really comes off the page. It's Something Is Killing the Children is fucking great. I'm a big fan of that. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else of note that I read. I did pick up that fucking Jason. I know before you even say it, I know I picked up Absolute Carnage Scream number 2. I did read that. And I'm just, I'm done now. I'm done with the Scream one. I gave it to you and I was like, I can't come along this. I just don't care about any of this. And yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I've read a bunch of other stuff. Like I've been keeping up with Friendly Neighborhood and Amazing and all that stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
And that's been great. There was a holy shit. That recent, have you read this one? The new Friendly Neighborhood with Mary Jane?
No.
On the cover?
Nope.
Oh.
I've seen what some of the stuff that happened in it, though, so feel free.
I'm not going to spoil anything, because it's really not a spoilery kind
right.
of... the whole issue, and this is why I like this title so much, I think it's my favorite thing running right now. There is a moment in the issue where, like, Peter Parker has gotten the shit beat out of him, and he's like, I'm just going to go to bed. And the whole issue is then handed off to Mary Jane, and it's sort of her doing her shit, but also being heroic in her own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it lands in this place where it's a mirror, or it's bookended by this sort of internal question she has about, like, who am I and what do I do? Like, you ask me, what does Mary Jane do? And it lands in a place where she says, what do I do? I'm the one who takes care of Spider-Man. And it's like,
nice.
Yeah, it's like a real, like, fuck yeah. You know? And not in a demeaning kind of way of like, I stay home and bake the cookies. It's like, no, she's a badass in her own right. Mm-hmm. And what she has chosen to do with that is like, I'm going to take care of the one person who's taking care of everybody else. And mm-hmm. it's really sweet and wonderful. And I absolutely adore that title. I mean, for those listening, if you are a Spider-Man fan and are not reading Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, I couldn't recommend it more. It's so like earnest and good-natured and kind of goofy. I just love it. So those are my picks. Those are the things that I've been reading. And the J.J. Abrams Spider-Man, not so great. I'll give it another issue and see where they go with it. But Peter Parker really
yeah, you've worked your way through all the setup now, so maybe something more can get going.
I hope so. I just wish Peter weren't such a fucking bummer in it. And maybe we'll start to see glimmers of the old one. But it's one of those things, like when I saw Man of Steel, I didn't see Man of Steel in the theaters. I saw it at home, And so it was real easy for me to do this. But as soon as I got to the scene, the opening scene where they're on Krypton and things are falling apart and a bunch of people start jumping on dragons like Avatar, I was like, I'm done. This is not the Krypton I want. And that's kind of how I feel with this comic. If like Peter Parker doesn't show some signs of life, I'm just going to say, you know, this isn't the Peter Parker I want. It, like other people may love it. I've got the things I like that's one of them. I want a silly Spider-Man. But anyway, enough about that. What have you been reading? Because I always feel like you are you always bring something really interesting to the table.
Well, unfortunately, this week the only thing I've read is the latest issue of House of X,
which I have not yet because I haven't read the latest from Wednesday, as I mentioned. But I've got it. That like I literally when you sent me the message and you were ready to record, I had it in my hand because I was like, well, maybe I can get this in real quick. So how was it, though? How's the new House of X?
It's really great, does some very controversial things, and it does resolve that cliffhanger from the previous issue. And really, I think it was last time we recorded, I said something like how I don't think they're going to be able to do something on the order of the new status quo for Moira MacTaggert again in this series.
Yeah,
this issue kind of did that.
Oh, that's great. Who are they? Just give me the character. I don't...
It's not a character. It's kind of the entire mutant culture.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. I thought the last issue... I can't remember if it was the House or the Powers. They blend together a bit for me, but... where you got the full timeline of like Krakoa,
right?
And I thought all that stuff was very cool. I really love the mythology of the House and Power stuff because it, like you said, it's very clear that they're resetting the table for the foreseeable future. But I think they're giving it a really interesting foundation. So.
What happens in this issue is as much of a game changer as Moira MacTaggert.
Okay, great.
I'm trying to think, there was something I wanted to say about, it is kind of controversial, and I have seen some people being like, well, yeah, but so what? And I'm sure we'll talk about it a bit more later, once you've read it.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to talk about with this one.
Well, and actually, by the time we record next, we will be, like, on the precipice of the end of the House and Power series.
Yeah, depending on when we come back, we'll either be waiting for the final issue or just after the final issue.
Right. So yeah, we're going to be right on that cusp, and I'm excited about it because we're over the hump and really in the meat of the story, and I've really been digging it. But to hear that there's another left turn that the series is going to take is encouraging. I just love all the stuff they did. The stuff that with like Emma Frost and the Stepford Cuckoos and stuff, I thought was great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just I've really been digging this House of X stuff a lot.
That does remind me, since I do know you read the previous issue of whatever it was, I never thought I would say that there would be something in the House of X, Powers of X series that was utterly hilarious, but then along came Mr. Sinister.
Man, you're right.
Oh my god, that was wonderful.
That was pretty terrific. What a little chump. In the grand scheme of things, he was wonderful.
And I've been picking over the Sinister Secrets. Oh my god, there's so much stuff in there that's laying little stuff for things to come. I can't wait to see where that's going to go.
Yeah, every now and again, there is an actual comic event that is an event.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think, I've been holding off on being too... effusive about House and Powers of X just because it was still early goings. It was like, this is really cool, but let's see if they pull it off. And it's just like, I'm so deep into it now that barring any just crazy missteps, it's like, oh, this is genuinely one of those comic events that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig it, man. It's nice to have kind of jumped back into comics in a more serious way, as with this as like, oh well, I'm gonna follow all of this, and X-Men #1 is in October, right around my birthday, which is cool.
Yep.
So, I'm, you know, again, depending on how these last, like, who am I kidding? Of course, I'm going to pick up X-Men number one, but I do think that where they are, have been going with this story just makes for a fascinating, because if the future is what the future is in these comics, then it's, mm-hmm. it's incredibly nihilistic.
Yeah. One thing that leaves me wondering is how can this be sustainable? How can they, it's like they're moving the X-Men away from superheroics at this point because everyone's coming together. There's no good mutants or bad mutants in an increasing fashion. So it's like, where's the conflict going to come from? What's going to happen going forward after this?
You know, and maybe I'm misremembering the Moira MacTaggert issue. I wonder if the ultimate solution to this isn't her dying.
There is some theories on that, yeah. I have had the theory that what we're reading right now is her 10th life, for the most part. And what we know as the main Marvel Universe is her 11th life. So this all leads up to some sacrifice of hers, and it restarts again to what we know. And some things get rolled back, but some things don't.
Okay, yeah. And so you could roll back all the Nimrod stuff.
Yeah.
But keep, like, somehow keep the integrity of those characters that you've created. I just, either that or you learn that only through the conflict between the mutants is their actual salvation.
Right.
And anyway, I don't know. It's very interesting, and being able to ask those questions about it is kind of cool.
Yeah. There is one thing I find interesting that seems like everyone has forgotten. Okay, you remember how we found out the X-100 time frame was Moira's 9th life?
Right.
That led up to where we are now. Everyone seems to be forgetting what is the deal with the X-1000 time frame. It gets mentioned from time to time, but no one's really speculating on it. Where's that going, and how is that other shoe going to drop, and what's it going to cause as a fallout with what's going on now?
Oh, right. Yeah, because that was the last time we saw that, or as I've read, wasn't that the, like, hey, we're petitioning to be...
With the Phalanx, yeah.
Yeah.
Uploading consciousness, and some of that actually echoes in the next issue.
Okay, all right. All right, yeah, it's good shit. Okay, well, hey... That feels like enough comics for people to read, and we'll I'm sure we'll pause and recommend more along the way. But
I'm sure.
Let's get real about some news here. I'm excited about this. I genuinely, one of the things I look forward to when I'm doing podcasting is when I don't have to do news stuff and informational stuff, and so mm-hmm. I get to learn things at the same time as the people listening. So
yeah, and I'm still kind of getting into the groove of, oh, that's a cool news piece, I should save that. So there's probably stuff I miss along the way, but I'm getting better.
No, I'm having a blast, so hit me with what you got. Well,
not so much news lately, but something literally just dropped as I was getting stuff ready before the show. They have announced the new Batman creative team. Oh, and hey, it's Batman Day while we're recording, so happy Batman Day.
Yeah, happy Batman Day, everybody. Why not, you know? But, all right, so who's the creative team? Let's get to it.
The new writer is James Tynion IV, who I know wrote some other Batman stuff, particularly one of the Batman Eternal 52-week miniseries.
Okay.
Co-wrote, and the artist is Tony Daniel, who's done a lot of Batman stuff in the past, too. So not a huge change, but a really solid creative team.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that feels like a, you know, infield triple.
Yeah, it's a creative team. Sticking with familiar stuff, which is not a bad way to go at times.
You know, I haven't picked up any Batman comics in a while, but I remember all the Snyder stuff being really well regarded, and I read a good portion of the front end of that and really liked it. I don't know what you can do with Batman these days as a mm-hmm. creative team. Cause I thought speaking of the Snyder stuff, I thought that version of the Joker was almost a little over the top for my taste.
Yeah.
With all the face off shit that was happening in the in that run. But I don't know that I'd want to. I don't want to get too goofy. Like Batman, the animated series is about as goofy as I ever want to see Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Schumacher stuff is too far into the silly.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm just trying to think what you do with Batman in comic form, other than, you know, keep the grim dark kind of shit that would really breathe some life into that title at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that Catwoman bullshit pissed everyone off. I remember that being like,
mm-hmm.
man, what are you doing? Why, like, don't make a non-event an event.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like they need to earn some goodwill with that title almost. Like, mm-hmm. do something fun with it. Like, what the fuck is the Scarecrow been? Do an event with the Scarecrow scaring the shit out of everybody. That's my vote.
I saw him somewhere coming up soon. I don't remember exactly where.
Yeah, I mean, it's Halloween. Why would you not?
Right.
So, oh well. But, yeah, I mean, that's cool. It would have been interesting to see, like, a more exciting kind of creative team. Somebody pulled up from the indies or something. But,
right.
You know, whatever. I mean, look, Batman ain't going anywhere. Batman's fine. No matter mm-hmm. how bad that title sells for a while, like, somebody will come along and do something fun with it. But yep. We'll see.
Batman is almost the meat and potatoes of comics at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even you could get a kid a Batman comic for his birthday, and it's fine. You can still do that. You could do that in 1984. You can do it today.
Yeah. And on the Superman front, apparently there's some speculation he's going to be revealing his identity to the world. We'll see how long that lasts.
Does Mysterio do it? That motherfucker.
He gets around.
Yeah. But, Superman is Superman is Clark Kent. That's my shitty Jake Gyllenhaal.
But they literally did that with Superman a couple years ago, so it's all based on the upcoming solicitation for one of the issues, and that's kind of vague, so it might not even be that.
So this is real rumor and speculation at this point?
Yeah.
Eh, that's fine. You know, Superman is just one of those characters that I feel like there's only so much you can do with because he is the mm-hmm. character he is. Yep. And you can't fuck with that too much.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it just, you have to have some real talent behind Superman to make mm-hmm. to make Superman fly, to use a bad pun. But, you know, like, also the stunt stuff is really fun. Like, Red Sun is one of my favorite things ever.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's getting an animated adaptation soon.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that Warner Brothers team knows what they're doing. That, yep. I thought Hush was absolutely fine. I know some people didn't care for it. I thought it was just fine. That one of the DC Universe things where it's like, oh, okay, well, at least this is here. I can watch the cartoons. But yeah, I don't know. Again, it's that Batman conundrum. What do you do with Superman at this point to make him fresh? Like, with, I almost feel like it's unfair with characters like the Spider-Man that I enjoy so much, because they're not mm-hmm. Spider-Man is much more of a complicated character than either Batman or Superman, you right. know, which are more archetypal. They're just, you know, Superman in particular, the truth, justice, and the American way stuff. And you can tinker with that a little bit, but you do it too much and it's not Superman anymore.
Right.
And that's the tough thing, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of those, like Green Lantern seems like a character that you can tinker with a whole lot more than you can the other two. And, mm-hmm. and seems to have been done as well.
Yeah.
So, I think that's more interesting. But I don't know. I always hope every comic is great, so that I can spend more money, I suppose. But you know, I'd love to see a revitalization of both Batman and Superman. It'd be cool if we lived in a world where it was like, man, have you heard about that Superman comic?
Yeah,
shit is raw.
Of course, on that subject, who thought we'd be talking like we are about X-Men just a couple years ago?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, to that point, there is a season for everything. So, yeah, no, I'm very excited to see what the new X-Men stuff looks like. And what, You know, one of the cool things about X-Men has been through the years that depending on the decade of comics, the X-Men are kind of about another thing.
Right.
You know, it's either it's racism or it's certainly there's an era of homosexuality as being analogous to the mutant gene. But there was also a lot of Cold War politics and shit like that that ran through them. So anyway, the X-Men always kind of reflect the times.
Yeah.
And Marvel has been, especially with like the Captain America title and stuff like that, has been very decidedly unpolitical in a very politically charged time. And I wonder if maybe this is what breaks that seal, you know,
where
you can get a little bit political with it. But it's cool.
And the only other thing worth noting is that, like I mentioned briefly earlier, is that the solicitations for December's comics have been released, and there's a few things in there worth noting, I suppose. Mentioned the Superman thing. The big Doomsday Clock event with the DC Universe and Watchmen comics kind of intermingling is supposedly going to end, but that's running horrendously late. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
When that's done, I'm really looking forward to sitting down and reading that whole thing. Hopefully that'll make it to DCU at some point.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. I've been tempted with those because, you know, obviously Watchmen's fantastic. And I don't know. But I some of the covers I've seen, I was like, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
That looks real Watchmen.
I really like the idea that it's Doc Manhattan coming in and tinkering with the DC universe that has made things so screwed up the last couple years.
Yeah, it's clever. It's
very meta, and it's just that kind of sort of thing I love, and that works really well with the Watchmen characters because that book was always a little bit meta.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it is as much about comic books as it is about the plot with the big, was it this? God, space octopus, is that what it is? The squid?
Yeah, something like that.
And the thing what wasn't in the movie. But yeah, I do think that that seems like a really interesting run. And like I said, I keep almost picking it up, but have not yet. I'm with you. I'm just going to wait for the trade paperback and then sit down with it one afternoon with a cup of hot cocoa.
And I have to give a shout out to one thing I'm looking forward to, which actually the first issue comes out in November, but the solicitations reminded me of this. My favorite DC Comics team, and it is highly appropriate for this, so everything kind of came full circle. I am a huge fan of the Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, and the Legion of Superheroes is whom?
A whole lot of characters. They are a team that comes from the 31st century. Currently, usually it's been the 30th, but you know, moving forward.
Sure.
And they kind of they were inspired by Superman, Superboy, and all that stuff. And they recruited Superboy way back in the 50s.
Yeah, so they spotted some talent, got him early.
Yeah, and they've just kind of always been around for all these years. And they've gone through reboots and retinkerings, and because once DC pulled out Superboy from their mythology, they kind of couldn't be inspired by him anymore. He couldn't be in their adventures anymore because after Crisis on Infinite Earths, there was no more Superboy. So they've gone through all this stuff, and I keep thinking with this team set in the future that when things change in the present, they have to kind of reflect those, and I'm like, why? Why say suddenly, oh, there's no more Green Lanterns after Hal Jordan killed them all? We all know in 5 years that's going to be undone, and, well, it was. And so just kind of keep going forward with your adventures.
Yeah.
You can just say, oh, things were fixed in the intervening 1,000 years.
Especially because Dr. Manhattan has this weird, like, you know,
right,
celestial sense of justice and equality of like, well, here's how I will make everything right.
But I digress on that point. They've always kind of... but yeah, they started off with Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, and Cosmic Boy. And they kind of grew from there with Brainiac 5 and just a literal legion of superheroes.
All right. I'm completely unfamiliar with this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just that it feels like I might have heard this at some point, but that's...
You probably have.
You know, with the again, I feel like such a fair weather friend, because with the DC stuff, it's like, hey, if it didn't pop up on Superman and Friends,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't, you know, the Big Five, I don't really know a lot of the, like, people talk about, what's his name, Booster Gold all the time.
Uh-huh.
Never read a comic with Booster Gold in it in my life.
I can make a few recommendations.
Yeah, I hear it's a really fun character. What? Give me the recommendations. Let's do this for the people.
Well, he basically had two main series. His one from the 80s is pretty solid, sets up the character and stuff like that. But the really great stuff was his run from the mid-2000s after Infinite Crisis, where he was bouncing around through time and he would visit important events in DC history. Like, he would show up during DC 1 million. You're familiar with the Killing Joke when Barbara Gordon got shot by the Joker?
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
He went back to try and undo that and found out repeatedly that there are certain points in history you can't change, and it was just a heartbreaking issue.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That seems really cool.
I'm a sucker for time travel.
Yeah, sure. Sure. It's the reason that of all the shows, you know, we've talked about this also, but of all the shows that are on right now, the one that I wish I had time for was The Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That seems so up my alley, and I enjoyed what I saw of it, and I just, you know, where do you just can't watch it all, and right. And that is the one thing that I've dropped so far. But again, it's one of those things where, like, I'm gonna at some point, like, break a tibia or something, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna watch three seasons of it, which is probably not the way to do it, but shut up. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
The only standout for Marvel solicitations is their upcoming kind of event book, kind of in the vein of Marvel 1000, but not as huge, is Incoming, which is going to kind of wrap up their 80th year celebration, kick off a murder mystery, and set the table for where things are going in 2020.
And what is that touching all the books? Like, what?
It's touching a lot of them. The X-Men were going to be in it.
Okay.
I know Captain America and the Avengers are involved, and they're not saying a whole lot about it right now because it's a couple months down the road.
Yeah, I haven't been reading that Captain America book, but I've heard that that's been a real, like, kind of bumpy ride of late. So, all right, cool. Let me ask you this, though. You know, talk about those orders.
Okay.
What is there a title that would have just blown your mind had you... Had they just been like, hey, guess what's coming back, or guess what they're doing?
Not this month. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I was kind of like, I'm not aware of it unless I'm, you know, my comic shop has just refused to carry it. But there's not an ongoing Swamp Thing comic right now, right?
Not right now, no.
I mean, that seems like a shame, considering how good the TV show was, how well it was received.
Right.
It feels like the pump is primed,
right,
for something like that. I when you were talking about those advances, I was like, eh, that would have been cool. I would have taken a Swamp Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always take an Excalibur.
Yep. Well, we do have an Excalibur coming.
I know we do, and it's exciting, but it's not like a full run. It's a one-off, right?
No, it's a new series.
Oh, fuck. I was under the impression that it was just like, oh, we're doing this thing for the House of X stuff, but it's not an ongoing, like, it was going to be a 6-issue sort of thing or something.
No, as far as I know, it's a straight up ongoing, unless it gets canceled.
Great. Okay. No. Now I'm back in. Like, another thing I was doing before you came on the line was going through old Excalibur covers.
Uh-huh.
On the Google, and man, I love those covers.
Yeah, there's some great ones there.
Yeah, that the chessboard one in particular, I think, is pretty great with
mm-hmm.
Captain Britain giving him what for. Anyway, yeah, I can't wait. I feel so happy now. I'm so excited knowing that's a monthly, I guess.
Yeah, with, I think there are two issues coming in December.
Okay, yeah. That's how they've been launching it here of late. They did that with Uncanny X-Men, something like that?
Something like that.
But anyway, anything else?
Yeah, really the only other stuff I'm excited for is all the X-Men books coming, but you know that's just more of the same of what we're waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, right. Like, we still don't know what those books are going to look like, which is exciting. You know, not knowing what the X-Men are going to be, what that title is going to be, is it's a fun place to be, and I wouldn't have necessarily expected it. You know, because most of the events, it's like, okay, when this is over, things will be pretty much back to where they were.
Yeah, and I thought they might do that, but because, you know, I thought they might roll back Xavier a little bit, but one of the teasers for Incoming, the murder mystery book, has Xavier in his current look with Magneto and Apocalypse holding one of the Krakoa flowers. So I guess we're not rolling back that much.
That's really cool. I like it. It reminds me a lot of that old Havoc outfit.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like that, which also makes me happy. Oh, man, that's exciting. Okay, well, hey, as we head to our inevitable landing here, Jason... anything, you know, coming up that we're excited about? I know obviously the continuing House and Powers of X, that continues to be the big story on this show.
Yep. The only other thing I'm waiting to hit is, the new TV show is starting in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right around the corner. I'm trying to figure out if I have to get some stupid app for that or not, or if I'm going to be able to get all that free on the CW, app, their free app.
Yeah, the CW is pretty good. They usually post their new episodes the day after they're on TV.
Okay, cool. That's probably how I'm going to end up keeping up, but I'm very excited about, you know, look, I'm on board for them doing Crisis, so I'm going to watch everything until that happens, which means I'm going to be watching until at least January. But, yeah, I'm really excited for that. I like the fact, look, it's sad that Arrow is ending for all the people who love the show Arrow. For an asshole like myself, the fact that Arrow is ending is like, oh, good. Because that means that something is changing for real, and you get to see the shows react to that. And so that feels kind of cool. Like, if let's be honest, if Oliver ends up doing something that makes it so he has to sacrifice himself during the Crisis event, that kills two birds with one stone, you know? And but it would be a great way to do it, and you know, or at least spin it in such a way that it's like, okay, well, this is how the show is going to end, in the you know, events after Crisis. But but it's exciting for me. I like it when something happens that really shakes shit up. Like, it's the TV equivalent of your House or Powers of X, where it's like, oh, no, something is really changing. Or Crisis on Infinite Earths, if you will. but yeah, so I'm super jazzed about that as well.
I just finished watching the My Flash and Supergirl DVDs of the previous seasons. I watch it live, but then I get the DVDs to kind of support the shows, and I rewatch the stuff. And that's got me really hyped for the next seasons right now.
Man, Supergirl is another one that I feel really bad for having abandoned. Like, I watched the entire first season. I don't know that I've seen anything after that. I may have watched an episode or two of season two. I can't remember now. But I like the girl, Melissa Benoist. Who plays Supergirl is so incredibly charming and earnest and wonderful. She is just the best. And I really enjoyed both the show and her in it.
Right.
Like, she was such a good anchor for that show. It was like, oh, this is such a solid foundation.
I don't want to quite belittle the show by saying it's my TV comfort food. Because it's like, even if the show wasn't really good at times, especially the last season I really enjoyed, I would still watch it just because it gives me such joy and comfort and just a warm, fuzzy feeling most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think The Flash has a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
I think both of those are, and again, I need to catch up on Legends of Tomorrow. All right. You talked me into it, Jason. Jesus Christ, get off my back.
So now can I introduce you in Dark Phoenix?
I haven't watched it yet. I may watch that tonight.
I'm like the only person that probably enjoyed it.
Okay.
I that's not true. I know a few people did.
Well, but like I'm going into this with the idea that, hey, this probably isn't very good. But if it is, that'll be a nice surprise. Like, I'm not rooting right. for this movie to fail.
Right.
And as long as it's just a good X-Men movie, that's all I want out of it. Is like, hey, show me some mutants doing mutant shit and give me a moral.
It's a good X-Men movie, and I would say it is a starting to push towards a great Jean Grey movie. She is really the center of the story, as she should be for Dark Phoenix.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And the more I've watched it, the more I've kind of fallen in love with the movie, and I'll fight anyone that says it's horrible.
Okay. All right. Well,
which you probably will next time we talk.
Right. We'll come into the Thunderdome and duke it out over Dark Phoenix.
The thing is, don't go into the movie expecting something like an Avengers or a big MCU superhero type punching movie. It's a lot more... not grounded, because you do have a cosmic bird of fire, but it's a lot more personal and intimate of story.
Okay. I mean, I feel like X-Men 2 is in that territory.
Yeah.
And I think X-Men 2 is fantastic. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I mean, if it's as good as one of them Spider-Man movies, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be entertained. I want to have a good time. Like when I watch a movie that has X-Men in the title, or in this case, doesn't, and it's just called Dark Phoenix. But in a movie where there are X-Men, I'm not going to overthink it too much. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Show me Nightcrawler bamfing around.
Yep.
And I'm pretty happy.
It has its problems, but it's really the same problems that are throughout every X-Men movie at this point.
Right, yeah.
You've got the throwaway cameos where you're like, oh, that's my favorite cat. Oh, they're gone now.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for stopping by, Gambit.
Plot stuff that doesn't really make sense in the grander scheme of things, but if you go in expecting a fun ride, you'll probably have a fun ride.
Yeah, I guess my concern was with it being a little self-serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. You know, like, as long as they earn it, that's fine. But, you know, in a movie where, like you said, there's a giant cosmic firebird.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't take this too seriously, please. This is, at its heart, it's a little dumb. But
you got to take it just seriously enough, because it is the story of power corrupting and the downfall of a hero.
Of course, yes. But also, giant cosmic firebird.
Yes.
Anything else that you're all a Twitter about?
Nope, not particularly. I think Giant Cosmic Firebird might be a good note to end it on.
Fair enough. All right. Everybody, thanks as always for listening. Drop us a line. You can reach me at bo@legionpodcasts.com. And follow us over on Flick Chat at Legion, or it's just Legion Podcast, not even an at. And there you can get in touch with me and Jason both. Hey. Listen, not for nothing, go out and buy a fucking comic book at your local comic shop. Jason, say goodbye to everybody.
Enough said.